Hello, boss lady.
Hi there, Professor. How are we?
I am doing awesome tonight. It is spring.
It is. It's such a beautiful day.
I'm so
Nice
excited.
and bright and sunny.
It is very sunny.
It is. I think I'm getting
We have been having some lag, so to speak, as far as
Oh,
sleeping and trying to get
yes.
going here.
It does tire you out when you lose that hour of sleep. It's
It does
amazing.
definitely.
Yeah. So we're talking about thinking differently, huh?
Oh yeah.
Uh-oh.
These are what I would call outside of the box thinkers. And I believe that our leaders that we have watching this video probably have run against that time when they were thinking differently. In fact, how many times have you ever said something to your boss because they wanted an idea and they just wanted it right then, right there, off the cuff, and then they looked at you like, "Where are you coming from?" And the response to that is, you're different. They asked for a comment and they really wanted it from you. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've given some off-the-cuff comments, and it's kind of nanny nanny poo-poo, so to speak. They throw it in the garbage can.
Yeah.
6 months later, they pull it out and start using it.
You're right.
It was
They think
their
about it.
idea.
Oh, that was such a good
Yeah.
idea. They just weren't expecting
But you never get credit for it
that. Yeah,
either.
that's true too.
But at least you did your job. So tonight we're going to be talking about thinking differently. By the way, being unique is not bad. It's good. It's really what corporations do need is someone who does think outside the box. And we're in a society now, and it seems like, we've got all this technology, and so it has to kind of always be the same. And I think it is a time when they need more of these outside thinkers, these brainstorming people. And maybe we'll discuss that in a couple of weeks. But tonight, we're going to talk about somebody who was different and that God chose this person because they were different. And in doing so, it saved the Israelites, but it sure changed the way something subsequent to that happened. And we're not talking about playing baseball either. So we're going to start off tonight with the Israelites again, as usual. And by the way, I'm not picking at them because I am just as bad as anybody else, so to speak. We turn around and we somehow start getting in our minds that maybe we're all that great, all that good, whatever, and maybe we stop saying our prayers. And I'm saying not now, but in past in my life, sometimes I had those points and I forgot about thanking God constantly. And so the Israelites would fall off the truck again. They love Baal. We've talked about this 100 times, and it's just one of those things. Idols were nice, you know?
Yeah, and that's
And
not, I mean, I tend to do that, like I get up first thing in the morning, I think, and sometimes I'll get up and I'll start walking towards bed and I'm like, oops,
get caught.
yeah.
And I can't blame the Israelites because if I had to say, is there anything like Baal that might be close in my mind to that? It's called money. I like looking at dollar bills. I really do. Now, I don't worship them, so to speak, but every time, I think about it, I'm like, hey, I can make a dollar here. Maybe that's my crux that I need to work on. But again, they got in trouble. This time, though, when they got in trouble, they were under the Moab, the Moabites, if you want to call them that. And King Egdon, he was not a good king. Anyway, the Israelites were suffering. And as usual, they turned around and called out to God and said, help, 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 help. And God sent a judge. For the last of this, I'm going to talk about the judges just as a follow-up on why God sent judges. But for now, we just want to know that a judge was sent. And the judge that he sent to them was a different type of person. The guy's name was Ehud, Ehud. By the way, he was the second judge of Israel. We do know a little bit about him. He was a Benjaminite from the Benjamin tribe. Something that was kind of ironic is that the term Benjaminite meant son of my right hand. Now, that was kind of strange, and it's irony, and you say, why is it ironic? Because the Benjaminites taught themselves to fight with their left hands. They would actually tie up, so to speak, their right hands. And of course, I'm sure they were good fighters with the right, but the Bible doesn't talk about being, ambidextrous either hand. But they would tie up their right hands so that they could learn how to fight with their left. And the reason that was so wonderful which they were unique doing that, is that the opponents that they went against always thought everyone was right-handed. So they weren't used to it. It's kind of like a left-handed pitcher. They can throw some really nice sliders, especially, to a right-handed batter. It's just all confusing.
Right.
I think about, in my time, there were a couple of lefties. It was hard batting against them. Played tennis with a guy who is left-handed. Man, he could just kill me because where my backhand, I'm having to turn around. That was his forehand. He was busting me. So anyway.
Yeah, and they're not expecting it.
No, it catches you off guard. Well, this young man, when he came into existence, God placed him in this particular role. It was a time when a tribute had to be paid to the big king, King Moab, or King Ogden of Moab. Well, just to let you know, what does really Moab, the term, stand for? It's kind of cool. It meant bull, okay? And he was a bull of a man. That scripture talks about he was a big one, a fat one, as we would call it, big and fat. Well, the first thing that our hero did, he went to King Moab to give a tribute, and he went with the other Israelites. Well, that just tickled the king to death, of course. This man comes up with other Israelites, and gives me a nice tribute. Well, that's good. So Ehud did what he was supposed to do. So when they were leaving, though, Ehud turned around and he told the other Israelites, I'm going back again. So he went back again, but this was where his real mission was. What's his mission? To kill the king. Oh. And I haven't said egghead yet, but when I was reading all this, instead of Egnon, I kept calling him egghead. Anyway, poor guy, the big king, we'll call it, because he wasn't thinking too well. There was also a special surprise for him, and that is Ehud had developed a sword. The sword was 18 inches long. That's about like that. It's a pretty good sword, a double-sided sword. And also, he'd strapped it on his left side, but underneath his garments. Now, what's unique about this, the story in and of itself, is when he was what we call patted down by the guards for the king, protecting the king, they only patted him on one side. Well, which side was that? And by the way, I said that incorrectly. He's left-handed, so the sword was on the right side. I apologize. See, I got to get my mind right on this. Right side. And reason, you got to reach over to get it. It's better than sliding this way. It's a pretty big sword, so he would come this way. So when they patted him down, they never thought this guy was a lefty that would reach over to the right-hand side. Everybody's right-handed, so they're going to reach that way. So they patted his left-hand side and didn't even think about his right. So he got bombed. Also, he told the other Israelites to stay back, and the king said, everybody stay back. Wow. Why would the king do this? Because when he got to the king, he told him, I got a secret. Oh, you got a secret for me? Yeah, I got a secret for you. And so he gets to go in to see the king. And this is something that we're going to talk about a little bit later, that something that we all as leaders need to think about. We're going to talk about need to be humility, but you also got to be a little diligent too. You got to be able to size up people pretty quickly. And the king should have realized, even though he's a big guy and he's like, this is a little man smaller than me, he ain't going to do nothing to hurt me. You just never know. Of course, in our society today, we'd be like, well, he could be a jiu-jitsu warrior, kung fu, whatever, and take me out. So maybe we'd be thinking a little bit differently. But, you got to think about where you are in the times. So when he gets into the king's throne, he says, I need to tell you a real secret. It's from God. Well, the king's like, man, this is unbelievable. So he turns around and tells all of his guards to leave. And they go up into the upper chamber above the throne. In fact, this is a room where the king goes potty, relieves himself. And so he says, here's the message from God. And apparently the king was just so excited, he stands up so he can hear the message. Well, guess what? He got the message. He gets zoop, bah, the sword right in him. Oh. The Bible says that he was so fat that the fat just absorbed that sword all the way up to the hilt. The Bible talks a little bit more of everything that came out. It was a little bit gory. We'll just say that the blood, the guts, and the dung, his poo-poo came out as well.
Hi everyone. Are you applying the Bible at every moment when facing a difficult situation? Know that God is willing to help if you only had your mind trained to receive His immediate help. Let me help you put God in control immediately when you need help. Learn my meditation methods with the Bible in your mind when any situation arises.
So, now Ehud has killed him, but what's he going to do? He's got to escape, right? Well, I don't know if you remember that movie. The little boy's name was Alex at The Mummy. It was the Mummy movie. Anyway, the little boy Alex was taken by some tribe or whatever that was a part of this mummy guy working with him. And he gets on a train. And the kid's trying to escape the train. So he tells the guard, I got to go potty. You know, he goes, oh. So he takes him and lets him go potty and shuts the door and he's waiting outside the door. Well, the kid turns around, you know, and pulls up the toilet like he's going to, you know, do something. He's like, ugh! You know, all crap around everything. But he looks again and he realizes there's a hole down there. And so he punches through the hole and now he's got a hole opening. So the kid turns around, the train's slowing down. So he goes through the hole so of the toilet so that he can escape on the ground and get out of there. Well, you're like, okay, maybe the mummy got this from what happened to Ehud. Ehud, because they were up there in that upper chamber where the king's bathroom was, you would have called it that, he had a type of commode also. And the hole in it went down to the throne room. So Ehud turned around, he locked the door, just like the king would be in there, and he went through the toilet down to the next floor. This is the throne room. And if you think about it, he got to the throne room, which was great because that's where the guards thought that the king and he were anyway. And so he turns around and, you know, walks out of the throne room, you know, through the front part of the building. He sees the guards, you know, everything's great, walks on out, and he's gone. Well, the guards didn't think anything about it at that point. They figured the guy was still relieving himself up there. And so they sat, stood, whatever, waiting around. Well, after a while, the king didn't come out, and they knew that he had apparently took a while when he went to potty. Big guy, fat guy, ate too much, all this good stuff. So
might have had the paper with him when they didn't have it back then.
That's well, he may have, you know.
You know, they said one of them.
Oh my goodness! So they get the keys and they go, and of course, king's dead. Find him on the floor. Well, David's gone. He's escaped. And of course, as soon as he got back to the Israelites, he turns around and blows a trumpet. You know, I'm your leader. Let's go get him. And they say that they killed many, many, many men. I've seen he's like 10,000 abled men that they slayed that day of the Moab tribe. So that's my story. But it's really not all the story. We need to think about some of the lessons that were here. Number one, being unique. You're that person that sits in the office and, you know, everybody else is trying to toe the line. They need new ideas. You're different. You think. You're not talking jabby, jabby, jabby because you're thinking. You're listening to what other people say and you're thinking about that idea. That's good. That's leadership. Leaders sit back and they think about what they're hearing. And they try to align it with what they've dealt with in life. And, of course, then they're going to go out and read literature, talk to other people. There's other things, but it starts the process. Don't worry that your ideas are off the wall. That's the point.
Right. You don't have to worry about fitting in and that be your whole concentration because you miss out on a lot of
exactly
things. I feel like, oh, I'm weird because I'm this way. Like you said, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. In fact, God chooses unique people for unique jobs. So it even goes over into Christianity and how you present yourself to the world as a Christian. Don't let what you think and what you believe and how you act bother you. Be thankful. God made you unique. So be thankful. The other part is sin has consequences. It's just like with the Israelites. You sin, no, punishment's going to come. Now for them, it turned around, you know, they would have some entity taking them over. And by the way, they had peace with Ehud for about 80 years. But then after he was gone, there we go again. We go back to the Baal. And then the next judge came in, Deborah. So we all need to realize that sin has consequences. And it's just one of those things. And we know we all sin, fall short of the Lord. Paul says that, you know, and Jesus mentioned it many a times to us. We're all sinful. That's why he was giving his life for us. But we need to try to do our best. Third lesson we learned from the king itself. That is, be careful about your pride. You know, this guy thought he was so great and he was so confident in himself that nothing was ever going to happen. And the answer is careful when you get to that point. Somebody may take you out. Now, they might not have a double-edged sword that's 18 inches long, but be careful about that. Always be cautious. You know, when you get a little pompous, something may happen. I suffer from that as well. My pride score, you know, it does sometimes go quite lower each week.
Yeah, but that's true,
And
and we've all faced that. There's times, you know, when you get that way, and then you get knocked down the peg somehow. And you're like, oops, yep, just shouldn't have said that,
should
should
have
have
said
done that,
that.
should have done
I told you this past week, my biggest problem in life is just keeping my mouth shut. I need to just keep my thoughts to myself. And even when I'm asked, I probably sometimes should keep those thoughts to
that.
myself. Just tell them I'm still thinking about it. My fourth thing is God is being a great leader. Number one, you have to have humility. No pride, no arrogance. Because if you think about what your role is as a leader, it's to take care of people. In fact, we've got a particular article that we've been advertising about generosity. That's the number one lesson that I got from the Bible, is that great leaders are generous. The second, and God wants us to be generous. In fact, if you think about it, he likes for us to give, to help fellow man. Jesus constantly tells us, you know, help your fellow man, you know, help these little ones. And of course, we do try to help through St. Jude. But that's the number one rule. Be gracious. The more you have, the more you give. The second part of it is, of course, is to obey God. He wants to be God. And God wants to be your king. And that's how I'm going to end off this. The Israelites, if we think about the judges, why did they not like the judges? Well, the judges were one of those Iron Man, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, whatever, that would show up when God put them in that position because the Israelites had called upon God and they needed to be saved, taken out of captivity. And the reason God did that, he wanted them to have a king, but it was him, not the judges. The judges were just the minute women, Deborah, the minute men, Ehud, people like unto that, that came and saved them and got them out of trouble at God's guidance. The other part, though, is that they wanted king. They finally got their king. Saul started off. And the problem with kings, you've got to be sure you've got the right one. And all through the Old Testament, if you look, some of the kings were good, some were bad. And just like how they wound up with Moab, the Moabites taking advantage of, because they had a bad king. Because kings typically will get into wars, and then we think about Israel and how subsequent after they divided up and so on, after Solomon's death, you know, they were fighting each other. And a king can constantly get you into wars because they want more and more. Then we think about as we go through the scriptures and some things we talked about, like Daniel, when he was serving one of these kings, they weren't an Israelite king, but they were king of well, the foreigners, Babylonian. And that king turned around and, you know, they told him, make an edict where everyone has to worship you. Well, Daniel wasn't going to worship him, and they knew that. And so Daniel gets thrown into a pit of lions because he will not worship the king. Arrogance. So the point to be made, even as Christians today, we need to think about in our minds that there is only one king, one dictator, one ruler for our lives, and it's God. It's that simple. That's what he wants. So it's not money either. It's God. And the reason I bring that up to us is that Israel suffered from that. They kept forgetting that God really was their king. And he is a person that all of us, if we're going to be great leaders, he's our king, but we also need to follow how God is and how he treats us. He forgives us. He does punish us if we do misbehave badly, but He also, since that time of the Israelites, he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus gives us forgiveness. And he's there when we do sin, we apologize, we tell him we're going to try better, and we'll do it again. It takes time. It takes time sometimes to learn lessons. But if you try hard enough, you'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
So the walk away message is, as you become a leader, become more generous to people. And that's the people that you serve. We have an article on the website if you'd like to see that. And also give as in your finances as you're doing better. In some way, however you wish, to help God's animals, God's people, whatever you wish. But it will cause you not to be so selfish and less likely become one of those arrogant kings that everybody as a leader, they have to give servitude to you or whatever.
Yeah, they say that the best leaders are ones that don't want
That's right.
it, or
No, that's true.
that don't go after it,
No.
or at least not power.
And how many of these judges that we know that God called upon, they didn't want it. And how many prophets when God wanted to send them somewhere? I don't want to go. God, you're not going to die. I'll take it. And I still don't.
Yeah.
And the answer is there are going to be times in your life that you can help people and you don't want to do it, but you got to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I see something this week about, what God must say once, and it had like a heart. And it was like, he wants your love. You need to, for people, care for people.
Read our article about generosity. I think you'll like it, folks. That's all I got, boss.
Right, well, thanks.
I'm going to go practice with my left.
Uh-oh.
I used to write left-handed. My mother changed me because she said society would not like because I was left-handed. Everything, she said typewriters and everything else were designated for right-handed people. So she made me change over. My daddy, before he passed, he said that was one thing he wished that he would have kept my mother from doing. I said, "You can keep my mother from doing nothing. You and I both know that." He said, "Well, I should have tried. I should probably spank you too." But anyway, that's where we're at.
Never too late.
Never too late.
Yeah, but
Well, they're
start
both
right with the
gone.
left hand.
I told him I don't think I did too bad after all. Yeah.
Be proud of you.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I should be worried about my children being proud. That's another story. All right, that's all I
Right.
got,
Well, thanks
boss.
for joining us.
All righty, folks.
Everybody, have a great
We
week.
love you in Christ's name. Hang
Yeah.
in there. Keep doing it. Doing great.